It's slightly after 4 o'clock on Thursday, March 20th, 2025. I convene the regularly scheduled meeting of the Board of Commissioners of South Whidbey Fire and EMS. So the call order is completed. Is there approval for the agenda that we have previously received?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. Motion carries. Item three on the agenda is for public input. Is there anybody from the public who wants to address us on any item? Going once, going twice. I'll take my glasses off. I can't see anybody in the backdrop. So we'll now move to item four on the agenda, which is the consent agenda. For the matter for the public, anybody attending, all matters that are on the consent agenda are items that we consider routine and the commissioners have reviewed. And at this point, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as previously presented to the board.
So moved.
Seconded.
Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. Now there's no member update. At this point, we are going to old business, which is item six on the agenda, second reading of policy 1007.4.7. Chief, any comments for us?
I would ask if you all had any questions or concerns about it. I haven't heard anything back from anyone. Or I did. I take that back, Mike. I did get your email earlier today, but was pretty wrapped up in meetings. There was one line that you had a concern with.
Yeah, it was just, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was just a semantic issue where there was a sentence that didn't have, and I'm, bear with me, I can feel a sneeze coming. And if so.
Let me look. I can look after it here as well.
Bless you.
Thank you. I don't know if.
Bless you again.
We can vote on the third one.
Coupled to this, is there also a job description for the volunteer fire captain, or are we eliminating that?
You know, you raise a good point. We don't have a separate one for it.
And I think it would need to be separate just from.
Yep.
Some of
I agree. And we still do have a volunteer captain. So,
so the question I'd ask of the board and a chief, should we include the job description as a codicil to this or as part of this? One, and two, if we were to vote to approve, could we vote to approve subject to adding the job description?
Or subject to doing a second job description for the volunteer captain?
Yes. I mean that's not a material thing unless you commissioners or chief feel that we should delay approving 1007.4.7.
I suppose we could say that the volunteer captain's description will continue to hold as this was, and we'll write a new one separate for volunteer. Or
Commissioner Towers, what's your read? You brought this up.
I'm fine with it, so long as we have a description in the near future.
Okay.
A point of clarification, is that job description now something that we already have?
Yeah, it's this covered both.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so we would just operate under the existing policy and then have this new one for career and have to do a new 1007.4.8 or 7 point, you know, to cover just volunteers, so because they're going to be separate.
So, commissioners, in terms of process, are you comfortable with basically approving this policy 1007.4.7 tonight with the assumption that we would be receiving the volunteer the description of volunteer captain, or would you prefer that we approve this at the next meeting with everything in place? And before I ask for your comments, Chief, is there any time? Do we need to prove this tonight, or is, if it was to be delayed and completely all the I's dotted and the T's crossed next month?
No, we're not under a strict time pressure right now.
So, commissioners, how do you want to do it?
I don't have any reason to delay approving this right now. I don't believe that the description for a volunteer captain is essential to move this forward. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. I don't have any issues with voting on this today, as long as we know that the job description for the volunteer is coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Same vote.
Okay.
So my only, I feel where there's a consensus to move forward, and the one little item, wordsmithing, I'm very comfortable with that just being amended at your leisure, Chief.
Okay.
So yeah. With that, is there a motion to have the second reading of policy 1007.4.7?
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. We've had discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. I like it. We got it. You got it, Chief. New business. We have several items. One of them is first one is resolution 2025-08, surplus of Clinton property. Chief, discussion or presentation?
So this is the surplus of the property adjacent to Station 32 off of Humphrey Road. We have been working with a realtor, Christina Boom, to surplus this property. We basically reached out and had a third-party commercial appraisal done on the property to determine the value, and spoke with the folks who are interested in buying it, and that's Simmons Land Management, Simmons Towing Land Management. We spoke to them directly. We knew they had direct interest in it, and they were interested in purchasing for the appraised price. So we have moved forward through that, and some questions have come up. And I can address some of those now, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one of the first questions about it that came up is, what would we do if we needed to have a reserve septic drain field? Because previously we had felt that the district had felt that we could use that adjacent property as an additional drain field. We did speak with Jimmy Berto about that, who has performed our septic services in the past, and you know, asked him, hey, will you take a look at the septic system as it is and let us know what kind of condition is it in? And he did that. He said it's in good condition now. It didn't need any work. We asked, would this support people being in that station regularly, a couple of people being in that station? He felt, yes, it would. The only caveat to that would be if we were doing a lot of machine use. We have a washing machine basically for bunker gear, for firefighters gear, called an extractor, and that puts a lot of water with chemicals into a septic system. He said, I would not do that. Nothing to do with this particular system, but that's just hard on systems in general. They have a hard time handling that amount of water. Something that we figured out is coming up very quickly from the state is that on April 1st, there are new rules around septic systems, and those say if you go to do any kind of a remodel, your system, it sounds like, has to be brought up to current standards with the reserve drain field. I don't believe we would be able to meet that if that's the interpretation that holds with either that property, and it's also no guarantee at all that we would be able to meet that with both properties. And the reason that I say that is The entire second property is gravel, which has been compacted with vehicle traffic for 20, about better part of 20 years. That would make that a big question mark too. And no matter what, if we were to go forward with the remodel, adding bedrooms, and we had to address the septic, it's going to be a significant cost and time delay. So with that, we could, if we are to go forward with the plan and say we're going to surplus this property, we can go forward and we can look at doing the remodel and adding stations. It'll be a couple of years before we have the kind of staffing to start regularly staffing that station. If we are not able to put living quarters in there, another, what I think is very reasonable plan for the interim would be to staff that station during the day. So those are a couple of options that we have. I feel that plan would be better than not going forward with the plan we have now and trying to hope that we could somehow make the septic work by keeping the property. We've talked about this, and I've talked about this individually with the board a little bit in the meantime. And I think, in my opinion, the best plan is to move forward with the surplus of the property. The final question that came up was, or the other question that came up was drainage. And there was had been a plan in the past that we would use the adjacent property for water drainage. The reason that we were looking at that is we would be paving and creating impermeable surface over probably 50% of the property. Any property that you're going to pave most of it, you are going to have a water drainage issue. And that's probably not going to be permitted unless you create a swale and pipe it off site. With our current plans for Station 32 only lasting a couple of years until we can get the new station put in place, I don't see any reason that we would want to do a lot of additional paving or a new construction or anything like that. Any future user of the property would be held to the same standards that any lot would be in South Whidbey as far as the drainage goes. Finally, there was a question about, use of the property in the time that we have owned it by other agencies. And that's not something that we can go back and address. We all know, but we can, I think the most responsible thing for us to do is to surplus the property at that point.
So, Chief, a point of clarification, the property you're saying is the property we're proposing to sell and not the property that holds the existing station?
Right. We're talking about the adjacent property that's been essentially a vacant lot that's had parking in it for 20 years or so.
Commissioners, questions, Chief, on this?
The main thing that comes to mind for me is I think about when the time comes to sell, are we putting ourselves in at a disadvantage without the lot that we're if as we are looking to sell this lot? From what I hear from you, you're comfortable moving forward, so that shouldn't be an issue. Like it's not a disadvantage to sell this parcel now.
I don't think it. I to me, it makes it's of more benefit than it is to a disadvantage. Is there a potential that that's going to make the sale more difficult potentially? We just don't know. And it could be the people who are buying the current surplus property are interested in this one. That could make a lot of sense. It could be it's used commercially and they don't really need to make changes to the building. But like many properties on South Whidbey, I think the septic is going to be challenging either way.
Commissioner Towers.
It could make it a bit more restrictive on selling the property. If someone wants to modify it, they're obviously going to have to get a building permit to do anything other than minor changes. But looking at the site, I agree that using the property on Humphrey Road for the septic would be dubious at best. And if somebody wants to buy the property and pave it over,
good luck.
You know, it could cost us a sale later on, but it's difficult to predict. And you know, hanging on to a property for 4 or 5 years while we get a new station designed and permitted and built, doesn't feel like a good use of funds for us.
Okay.
Any other questions, Chief Commissioner Towers?
Not for me.
Well, my two cents on this is that one, it's a good policy decision on the part of Chief bringing it forward to us, given the abuse that the properties had for all these years with a good old boy relationship with the previous owners of Simmons, with lots of vehicles stored and who knows what's been drained into the ground. The sooner we can get it sold, the sooner the new owners of Simmons have it, the sooner we can wash our hands of potentially a really bad problem. So I feel it is a good policy for us to move forward. So if there's no further questions or comments, I'll entertain a resolution 2025-08, the surplus of the Clinton property as presented in our agenda support material.
Motion to approve the resolution.
I'll second the motion.
Motion's made and second. We've had discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
None opposed. Good job, Chief, and good job to our realtor and anybody else who was involved. I think it's one of the things I like to see. I like to see government of all levels, if they're making a decision and it's a policy decision that has, either way, the more supporting factual material you have, one, it's just good, and second, it holds back any incoming rounds later, like, why did you do that? Well, we have the information, and we did it based on the information provided. So good job, Chief, and good job to all you who helped us on that. Moving to the next item, Memorandum of Understanding for the Navy Skill Bridge Participation. Chief, presentation.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if everyone is familiar with the Navy's or the DOD's Skill Bridge program. We did send out a little bit of information on it, and there was actually interesting timing in this weekend's paper. In the Stars and Stripes insert, there was an article about DOD Skill Bridge program. What the Skill Bridge program is essentially a program that assists members of the Department of Defense, in this case, the Navy, largely on this island, in transitioning into life after the military and helping them gain skills in a new profession in either public or private sector. In the last 180 days of their service, they can apply for a skill bridge program with an employer that will teach them skills and give them an opportunity to learn more about a profession. I had a conversation several months ago with one of the Navy surgeons about what it would look like for her to transition into a career where she was serving EMS, emergency department, and potentially being a medical program director or physician advisor for a fire department. And you know, we had a good conversation about that, and yeah, it's pretty fulfilling and cool role to have. And then she approached me again a couple of months ago and said, hey, would you be interested in hosting me as a skill bridge participant? And so yeah, that sounds really cool, and you know, we could have some benefit out of the program, and ultimately she wants to come back to this area and work. So who knows, down the road could have a role here on Whidbey Island. So about a month ago, I started going through the process of applying for us to be a SkillBridge site, and had to take an ethics course, had to fill out the application, and ultimately was under a little bit of time crunch, and you know, signed the MOU with DOD to provide SkillBridge service. So we're waiting to hear back from them, at which point we will create a training program, a basic training program for the SkillBridge student to come here and be able to have her SkillBridge experience here at South Whidbey Fire.
Am I missing the MOU?
Yeah, the MOU isn't, so
Okay.
the MOU wasn't in here. I meant to change that on the agenda to Navy SkillBridge presentation.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. So the MOU, I looked at it and there's virtually nothing on it except for very specific information about our agency and DOD.
Okay.
Which is why that wasn't included. But I did want to present that to the board and let you know we were working on that. And I think it's a pretty exciting program, an exciting opportunity for us. What the training would look like would be for the individual to be able to learn about run reviews, learn about protocol for fire districts and for EMS, to do some ride-alongs with us, and to help us to deliver some training to to our providers as being a naval surgeon, Navy surgeon, flight surgeon. The program would last about, it's just going to be June and July for her. So I would open it to any questions from the board or concerns or thoughts.
Commissioner Erickson, any questions?
I just like to rephrase or repeat back what I've understood to make sure I've understood it. So I understand the purpose of SkillBridge, and so is the intent to bring this person into our ranks when they're done with their military service?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
So, like they say on their website, what's the catch to SkillBridge? The catch is you could catch a great employee, you could catch a great worker, and sometimes they do end up working for the company. Oftentimes they don't.
Okay.
It's an experience opportunity.
So we are giving back, and we also are getting their expertise during the time that they're working with us.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Exactly. So.
Mr. Towers?
Are there any issues with insurance for someone who's not part of our organization, you know, working for us effectively?
I don't know. We could look into that. It's predominantly a, well, we will look into that if she's doing anything, but it's mostly her gaining education from us, doing the ride along, which we can cover. We already know we can cover the ride along. And the training, yeah, might be worth checking into that.
And is there a lot of time commitment for our staff in the training, or is this something that would be largely done by the by our lieutenants and
Yeah, so the ride along would just be ride along. So there's not much additional work there. Chief Dilley will have some additional work in creating a written EMS plan. I don't foresee that being a big workload for him. He's saying no. So we've talked about it. We met with Lieutenant Lopez, who's the interested in applying, last week, and talked through kind of what that might look like.
It sounds like a pretty good program.
I think so, yeah.
Not hearing any other questions, comments from the board, I just want to reiterate what I'm hearing from what both commissioners have asked, and more specifically what Commissioner Tower said he thought in your response, that the amount of involvement of SWIFI time is Fairly negligible. Would that be a good point to say?
Yes.
Okay. So then the value for us is maybe one of these people would want to come back and apply for a position here.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then, of course, regardless, I'm assuming they would be able to use this on a resume that they would present to whoever they want to go to.
Right. It could help them out in getting into their ER residency or residency as a medical program director.
So, are we, would we have some type of a, I don't want to say a form, but I want to make it easy for us to help these people that when they go and apply for a position, wherever it may be, they would want some kind of reference from us, would they? Or do we not do anything like that?
Yeah, no, I think we could certainly do that.
So, maybe what we need to do is to have some type of a template that is doesn't require original work on the part of whoever here, but it fulfills the need that this person would have in terms of a reference from us. So, and let me ask clarification before I ask the board to take action on this. We have on our item agenda items a memorandum of understanding. We don't have that. Is there a policy move that you want at this point?
There's really not, Chairman Noble. I apologize for the MOU. I filled out the MOU. There's no real cost associated with it, so I felt comfortable to do that. But at this point, just wanted to really present it to you all so you were in the loop on it and knew kind of what we were doing.
So, building on that thought, does Na the Department of the Navy needs something, or can they accept? So, I know there's a policy action on the part of this board to approve our participating in the Skill Bridge program.
So all we really have to do, the process, and I ha could have included it, there's a pretty simple process for it, is we start out by completing an ethics. I had to complete an ethics program online ethics training. And then the next phase is we go in and apply. And in the application phase, we're basically describing what we do and what sort of particular job that the individual would be doing. In the past, my past life, we had paramedics from the Navy SAR program come through and ride along with paramedics. They actually hired two of them out of the program, which is pretty cool. But we fill out exactly what kind of opportunity we would be having, and then we have a basic MOU that says we will be ethical in this approach. We won't use this employee to make some sort of a gain with contracts with the Navy or anything like that. And that we will have a safe workplace for them, essentially. So we completed those phases. The next phase is the Navy accepts that MOU on their end. And then we submit our training plan for a final approval for the individual who comes in. That enrolls us as a potential DoD skill bridge site, so future people could come through and apply as well. And then we would decide if it was a good fit.
So once we have this memorandum, we could have this one this year and then it could lay dormant for a couple of years and we could do another one.
Yeah, and I mean, if we ever had ALS opportunities, paramedics are coming out of, and EMTs too, are coming out of Navy SAR all the time, and they love to get fire jobs when they're done. So that could be a great opportunity. And like I say, you could have up to 180 days. In this case, we're looking more like 60 days, but you could have up to 180 days where they're riding along, getting to know the crews, and you get to know who they are really well. So it's a long form interview.
Before we take action, one further question to the chief. We're assuming, and I'll speak for me, but I think the other commissioners would agree, we're assuming 1 or 2 and a quarter Was there any case where it's more than that, and would that be a problem, or should we provide limits for the number of people at any one time?
Can I rephrase the question?
Sure.
Is it at our discretion to accept people in terms of whether or not it's beneficial? Like we have the capacity.
Absolutely. We're under
Okay.
no obligation whatsoever to take anyone or any amount of people or anything like that.
So it would be your call to say, we can handle this, we would benefit, we want to serve our folks.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And we can interview them and see, is this someone we want? And, in my past experience, it was every couple of years someone would come along and they would know someone else who knew about a department or
Okay.
somebody else who'd been through Skillbridge.
My question's answered. It sounds like the other commissioners are. We've received this information. We do not need to take action at this point.
Correct.
Okay. At this point, we have another line item on a new business titled Safe Haven for Newborns Policy. Chief, a staff report.
Okay. So firefighter Diffie is going to give a report.
Hello. Can you guys hear me? Prior to Chief Nye's retirement, he had asked if I would like to take on a policy regarding this safe haven for newborns, as he didn't come across one at the time. And in order we to have any signs, and so for Washington state law, we actually are a safe haven location as long as as long as the newborn is transferred to. As long, can you hear me now?
That's
Like
better.
the lights on. As long as a newborn is passed to an employee as a firefighter, a volunteer. And with the help of Chief M, he was able to reach or another policy from another agency, and I kind of adjusted it to what fits our system best here on the island, as well as working with Would Be Health EMS, or if we were to call it into ICOM, what terms are firefighters or volunteers should use so that it's not announced over the air because people have scanners and we want to keep the individual as anonymous as possible. And so that goes over that. And I had also printed out some RCWs that are linked in one of the papers. If you guys want to review them, feel free. And just a couple sign ideas that Chief Walsh and I have been discussing, and we would order those through the National Safe Haven Alliance. And they're a 501c3 organization. And some of them would be also at our outlying stations that would have the hotline number. And when I spoke to them, they said they would try to contact the local department first before trying to reach out to 911 and get the dispatch center to dispatch us. That way we can go there more so quietly and again, keeping things as anonymous as possible for the individual.
Commissioners, any questions?
Is this going to have a lot of impact on staff? I mean, if we get a child dropped off here, obviously we have to care for it until such time as.
So it would be to where we would have Would Be Health come and transport the child up to the hospital.
Okay.
CPS has to be notified within 24 hours of transfer of care. And then once we would transfer that care, then the hospital would finish going through the whole process of everything. We just need to get the child to that location or help along with that process.
So, under normal times, it would be a pretty quick response,
Absolutely.
could drag on for 24 hours, maybe.
Not for our agency specifically. It would be more so with Would Be Health.
Got it.
Commissioner Erickson.
I note the signs that they have at Freeland Primary Care because I take my mom there regularly. And so it looks like we're just adhering to what we should be doing in the first place because we are a
Correct.
fire station or a fire
Yes.
department district.
Yes.
And so thank you for making sure we have all of our ducks in a row.
Absolutely.
I presume this is a pretty rare event.
Yes, more so, especially on the island. I've only heard of one in the last maybe 5 years. But yeah, not very common here, but it's something we should have and be aware of just in case the situation arises.
Okay. Well, thank you for making sure we are taking care of this.
Absolutely.
Well, I commend you for taking the initiative on this. This is one of the reasons that SWIFI is such a good organization, where people are stepping forward. Looking at it from my viewpoint, if when we have, and first of all, will this signage be at all SWIFI locations or
Yeah, so
here?
there's a couple different
Yeah.
variations. So one might could say, it must be handed to a staff member, or please call and there's a hotline number and that person will walk them through or make another additional phone call to have us come out to meet them if it's one of our outlying stations. This one, I think one other I gave you guys could have, we could put here or at 3-1 and say, so I think it says something like, as long as the station staffed or,
Only when staff are present.
yeah, when
Yeah.
staff are present. Thank you. So there's a couple options that Chief Walsh and I have been working through, and then I've been in contact with them to figure out what signs or decals would be best for our stations.
So it would seem like if we put signs on the outlying stations that are volunteer supported, where there's typically nobody there,
Yes.
do you have that sign direct to, say, here to station 36, or how would you?
So I've
I
been emailing a lady at the National Safe Haven Alliance that does the coordination with the signs, and she's been trying to contact their sign people to see if they can customize it. She hasn't heard back from them yet. She even sent me an email today. She said she apologizes. So I'm not sure if we can get that accomplished or not, but at least having it saying it must be handed to a staff member with the directions or calling that hotline would hopefully guide that individual more on the next step to take.
So, just looking at it from my viewpoint, the facilities that are staffed, in this case, typically this location, and as others come along, it would seem like what you don't want to have is somebody, in a sense, dropping off a newborn where there's nobody there to receive that.
Correct.
It's, for whatever reason, the mother can't provide for the newborn. The last thing we want to do is have some signage that in any way encourages that newborn to be not handed to a real live person. So that would be my two cents on it.
Right.
Because the bottom line is, if somebody comes forward to this location, whoever's on duty is going to make sure that the ambulance station across the highway is going to be notified real fast.
Yes.
So I'm comfortable with it. It sounds like it's something that is not, we're responding to, it's a state law, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so we're fulfilling a state law that we haven't been. So minimum, speaking for me, I believe whenever there's any state law, federal law, that in directs our organization, we need to comply 100%. So I again applaud you for bringing this forward to us. So at this point, we need to approve a resolution to approve this policy. Or Chief, how do we? What action is appropriate here?
This would be approval of the first reading.
Okay.
We discovered that in our program, we do have draft model language for this policy, but it had been hidden in a way that you can kind of hide the policy within the draft. And we contacted the Lexapol company, and they've revealed the program. We haven't had a chance to just take a look and fit it in. So there may be some slight tweaks between now and next month. So this would be a first reading, and I would like to do hats off to Carly, Firefighter Dippy,
Thank you.
because she's been patient and worked super hard on this, as she does with other programs, like the car seat program. this program and has been working on some other policies, just kind of taking it upon herself. So thank you very much. You did an excellent job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
with no further comments, questions, I'll entertain a motion to approve the first reading of the policy for safe haven for newborns.
I just have one question
about
the policy.
Hold it, hold
because
that.
I see the comments here, which really look like I hit space or something. There's no editing comments for the policy that we're looking at. They just.
Yeah, this was a fresh policy because it wasn't in our policy book already.
Right.
I'm not sure, to be honest. This wasn't my copy that had the comments, but
all the comments I see are not really any changes.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not sure exactly what that original model that we were working with. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm willing to make a motion to approve this policy for safe haven for newborns.
Motion made. Is there a second?
Seconded.
Now, any further discussion? I'll just say before we vote, I commend this is an excellent policy. Independent of it being complying with state law, I think it's just the right thing to do. So all those in favor of the first reading of the policy for safe haven for newborns,
aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Good job. At this point, we move to the last new business. Chief's report. Chief, what you got?
Okay, so I made some adjustments to the chief's report, just kind of trying to expand it and make it a little bit better for you guys. And there'll be a little bit more, there'll be more changes to come. I want to add a training report section in here as well. But I'll just go through the information and see if y'all have any questions. Call volume reports were, you know, nothing dramatically different there. Daily call volume has increased since the beginning of 2024 from 8.3 to 8.8 calls per day. There's just a basic breakdown of incident types for February. We had two fire type calls, 170 EMS or rescue calls, pretty much on track for what we normally would do. We did have one working structure fire last week as well, but that was in this month. So average response times are something that I would like to start monitoring and trending as we go forward with doing additional staffing. But what you see on the bottom of that report is just the response time trends for the last year. No real changes as of yet. Okay. So you see a 10-minute average response time. What we actually use is the 90th percent fractile response time. And I don't want to try to explain 90th percent fractile.
I didn't want to ask the dumb question.
Yeah, yeah. I can explain it at times, and at other times it's difficult to put into words. So, it's, you know, 90% of the time we make it in 16 minutes. So, moving on to staffing and volunteer engagement, we had seen a dip in January for fourth and fifth seat coverage, but we're back up to 90% for fourth seat. Fifth seat coverage was at 44%, up from 26 the previous month. So we're doing really well. We've had a ton of volunteers and staff on duty every day, and some days we've had as many as six. MERV staffing was 27%, excuse me, down from 30%. Now, some of those folks are technically on the MERV here at Station 36, but they're part of this station staffing. So those are people who are working on the MERV responding from home. We have no volunteer members ready for approval at this time, but we have two in process and three currently in the local fire academy, and they're doing very well. We have a smaller academy this time, but I had the chance to observe them last week. And also talking regularly, Chief M, and sounds like everybody's doing really, really well. So they're having a lot of fun. Any questions so far? Okay. For logistics, we have two new water tenders now, as you know. The second water tender was delivered, and they're both being outfitted at this time, and we're working through some kind of break-in issues. We had alternator. They both of them showed up with some alternator issues, so that seems like they had a bad batch maybe, but those are both being replaced. And getting the equipment mounting equipment mounts in the rigs, getting the hose loads put in them with the dividers, that takes a little bit of time. So we should have a date for the push-in ceremony by next Monday is what they're telling me. Not the push-in, but they're going to tell me the date that they're ready by then. So it's coming up soon. The Marine unit, we're currently working on a specification for the new Marine unit, as we have been for a few months now. Sean McDougald, one of our firefighters, has kind of taken the lead on that. As you know, we went down to Safe Boat last month and looked at some different boats that would be similar. Sean will be traveling to FDIC in the coming month, along with Chief M and a couple of other firefighters. And the purpose of him going will be to go to their massive showroom and see all of the offerings for different fire boats. We just want to make sure we're investing in the right craft for us. We want something that's light and easy to trailer, easy to launch. We have some challenging boat launches, and the more of those that we can access, the better. So there's just a couple of photos at the bottom of that page. One is of a rigid inflatable 8 meter that's a little bit larger than the rigid inflatable we have now. And the other one is the safe boat. One other factor with the safe boat that's come up is the tariffs are already having a large impact. With a 25% increase in aluminum costs and
And all sorts of other costs.
And their number of a number of their orders that they were working on, about 90 of their staff members were employed working on federal government contracts, which have been canceled. So they've got some challenges up ahead, it sounds like, but they were willing to hold to the bid they gave us for probably a month. So.
So before the chief progresses, since we're talking about the new Marine unit, questions of the chief of where we are now based on what we just heard with the tariffs.
As far as that vessel, they're willing to hold the price they gave us pre-tariffs for.
Yeah, but how long? You said a month. A
Right.
month. When did the clock start ticking?
I believe we told them we would give them a decision by actually mid-May. I think it was May 15th. We said we would give them a decision. Yeah.
So I'm going to jump in here, is because I want to do some clarification. What are we looking at before we can be in a position to make that you can be in a position to give a recommendation to us? What do you have? What are your action items before you can bring that forward?
I would like the folks who are working on the bid spec to see something other than just the one boat that we've looked at, particularly something that would be lighter and easier to trailer. So when Sean returns from FDIC next month, it's my hope that he can maybe pay a site visit or two and see a couple other vessels in action. And the other thing that we've been working with the South Whidbey Port of South Whidbey, met with them last week to talk about the state of the boat launches and what are their plans to maintain those. So we've only got really two good boat launches for us on the south end. One's Possession and the other's Bush Point. So Port of South Whidbey manages both of them. They intend to maintain those in the condition that they're in, which is good. They are on either side of the island, but they don't get us into Holmes Harbor, and it's still a long run down to some areas. There is an issue like with Bush Point. They let the sand sort of ebb and flow from that boat launch. And so depending on what the tide is, you could have very deep, soft sand over the launch. So like last 4th of July, we got the boat trailer and truck stuck in the sand. Now, with the setup we have now, the truck's pretty light, the boat's very light, the trailer's pretty small, so we were able to just we can just take the winch, attach it to the back of the fire engine, and winch the whole thing out. Now, that works with a 1500 pound vessel. With an 11,000 pound, it could be more challenging. So we really just want to make sure we're getting the most useful vessel we can at the end of the day.
What about Freeland and the marina in Langley? Those are not good boat launches.
Those are very challenging boat launches, particularly at anything under, I think, about a 3 foot tide tower. Captain Towers may know that one pretty well, better than
Yeah,
I.
they're both challenging launches. Langley is not kept sand free. It's not kept free of logs, and it really is 50-50 whether it's usable or not. And the Freeland one,
Yeah, it's very entertaining on the 4th of July weekend or Labor Day weekend to watch people trying to launch their boats. Okay. And they have no plans of doing anything about.
I don't think there's any plans on it, either of those. There are a number of other launches that we use, but
Tide permitting.
tide permitting in some cases, and some of them are, you've got Glendale, you've got launch out on East Harbour Road, but there's really the two main ones.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Any further discussion on the boat at this point, or for your presentation, Chief?
No, that's what we've got at this time for the boat.
I'll just comment that life is a series of compromises, and then then you've got the cards that you're dealt, and the cards change. My concern, and I'm not saying concern, I just want to see within what we have, we can get the best. And Chief, just bring forward the options, the pros and cons, and then the board needs to chew on them. So that was my two cents on that. Do you want to, you've got a little more on your report here. I've noticed a picture of a little road construction. Or not road, garage construction. So what's the
Yeah,
status there?
just a couple more. So Station 34 in Langley, the remodel, of course, is underway. Since this picture, they've made actually a fair amount more progress. We've got the electrical well underway. It may be complete by now. Yep, so electrical rough ends complete. They'll have to do fixtures at the end. They've got the sidewalk poured, the doors cut in, so we're making good progress. From the training division, I didn't get all of Alex's bullet points in here, but we have several members who have recently completed EVIP driver's training. So that's a new driver's training program that we're getting everybody certified through. That's through the Washington State Fire Chiefs, and they've been working really hard on that over the last couple of weeks. Beyond that, upcoming events, we've got the awards banquet Friday. Not tomorrow, but the next Friday. The preparedness conference, which Sherry can give a little bit more detail on in a moment, is coming up 4/19, same day as the Easter egg hunt, unfortunately.
And where's the Easter egg hunt here? Where?
At Clinton. At which where's it at?
What is that?
Okay.
When you come off the ferry, it's to your right. When you see all those cars parked there in the afternoons and evenings, it's right there.
Oh, Thirsty Crab.
Thirsty crab.
There we go. Okay. We've got the Leavenworth Wildfire Fighter Challenge. Wildland Firefighter
Say
Challenge.
that fast three
Easy for me
times.
to say. Coming up on the 26th, there'll be a number of us. I'm not sure how many, maybe over 10. Something like that. We got a few, everybody in the room here just about. We'll be going and doing that. That's a lot of fun and gets folks thinking about the wildland season. We just did the stair climb. Was it 2 weekends ago? It was the last weekend. It was on Daylight Saving Sunday. We did the stair climb. We had 15 members turn out, which was awesome.
Right on.
Yeah, and everybody had a lot of fun. So, and then the FDIC, the Fire Department Instructors Conference, is coming up next month as well. We've got now 4 members
So,
attending.
Chief, back to the stair climb. How much money did we raise?
I sent it out in the email. I think we raised
Was it 6,000, 9,000?
9,000. Is that it? Wow.
Great.
Jeez.
Good
Feel pretty
job.
good. Yeah.
So, anything else on your report, sir?
Just some announcements about the preparedness conference.
Okay, so we'll now go to item 8 on the agenda on announcements. Sherry's going to talk to us about her wonderful project she's chairing.
Thank you. It's been a group effort, definitely not a solo one. I have been meeting weekly with Tara Anderson. I don't know if you've met her yet, but she's here this evening, so you might get a chance to meet her after the meeting. We're moving right along. We currently have 170 people that have registered, and the trend has been mostly word of mouth, friends. The word is getting out there. We're saturating the South End. We've got lots of local partners. We'd be Climate Action being one, Goosefoot Community Foundation, gosh, Freeland Chamber. I mean, I could go on. We've got a lot of partners and they're helping out, helping spread the word. And just everybody's getting really excited about it. There's something new every day. I'm working on something every day. Right now, we're finalizing the agenda, trying to get that all worked out, the program. We're way ahead, so that's good because we might need some of that breathing room towards the end because I imagine it's going to be all hands on deck here pretty quick. But yeah, it's all going good. Does anybody have any questions or anything like that?
Questions to Sherry?
Chief, how does the attendance that we're getting compare with last year's? I can't remember how much the group that put it on last year got.
The weather.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many showed up to the. Do you, Tara, do you remember how many came to the wildfire? Yeah. Yeah, 73. So I am hoping we get up to 400. Sherry's dubious, but we got 170 already registered, and we've got about a month out, so I don't know. We'll see.
I'm anticipating maybe 253, just based on what, the progress that we're making right now. But, it could explode. Some days I come in and there are, way over 10 more new registrations. So it comes and goes, but
Yeah.
it's definitely a big project and it's coming together. There's a big buzz now.
So, Sherry, a question for you. Have we gotten any outreach to the local newspaper?
That has. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
You don't know this because I saw an email just before we walked into the room, but I did hear something back from the newspaper an hour or two ago. So I don't know what it says, but we'll find out. They did receive our press release. They've acknowledged it now, so I think we're getting somewhere.
Yes. Yeah. So that is happening. We've been trying to get that a couple weeks before, but we're getting it now, so that's good.
Commissioner Erickson, questions?
I was just looking for the. I don't think we've seen the flyer. I think we just heard that you wanted to help distribute the flyer, or maybe I'm just lost in my inbox. How can we support? Do we show up? Do we? What can we do as commissioners?
Well, are y'all coming? You're gonna register? You can register.
I
We
have
just need
not
to.
registered, but I guess I better.
Yeah. The more the merrier, I say. I think you should, yeah, let's register. But I think also, I mean, I do have lots of flyers. If you want a copy, you can take it to, you could put it on your personal social media if you wanted. If that was something you were comfortable doing, you could take it to some of your friends, some businesses that you may know. I know right now we've got a lot posted, but it doesn't hurt to get them out there. I'm happy to send it to you.
I found it.
Did you find it?
Swiffy.org, front and
Yes.
center. Did you have any luck reaching out to Fred Lundahl?
I'm sorry, to who?
The owner of Music for the Eyes.
I have not yet, no.
He will have a lot of business contacts for you to help promote this.
Okay,
Yeah.
great.
Oh, Sherry, I will be sending a blast, email blast to my neighbors. They get a little. Okay, here's Noble doing telling us to be prepared, but this is very good. I mean, I look at this in a very self-centered way for Swiffy. If we can get even one more person than what you have on the list, and hopefully all of them prepare as we hope they will, then that's right now 170 families, 170 households that hopefully when the you know what hits the ventilator and it's a magnitude 7 or 8 on one of these would-be faults or all the faults, at least these people are not going to be part of the mass of people screaming for help from us. So
Right.
my hat's off to everybody that's been putting this together because as what I like to say in what I did in my neighborhood, the end of the handout that I had is basically saying, you don't want to be one of the people who says, wow, I should have been prepared. So, hats off to all of you. So, at this point, we might want to have some further discussion once the meeting's finished. I know that. That's a possibility. Anything else on the preparedness conference? Hearing none, comments from commissioners? Commissioner Towers?
I guess with today's action, we need to start looking for station 32 and a half.
Bingo.
We have begun.
Commissioner Erickson?
I have registered for the preparedness conference.
A couple comments for me. One, the move for the new South End station, I did receive a positive comment about that we are moving forward from a former white shirt with the district. So that's a good sign. And then once we can complete the meeting. I would like the commissioners to stay at your at the dais for a minute or two. I've requested former Chief Nye to take a few pictures of yours truly. I'm building a website, and I won't talk about what the purpose of the website is for because this is a public meeting. But I would like to get a few shots, a close up of me, and a close up. Maybe of us at the dais. I'm not aware of any executive session, correct? At this point, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and second. All those say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Let's go home in a couple minutes.